dread it, run from it, destiny arrives all the same.
Welcome back to 15 Minutes of Marvel, the only podcast that gives you Marvel reviews, news, and rumors in just 15 minutes. I'm your host, Ethan Simme, and on today's episode, I am joined by Cameron from the Green Shirt Podcast to unleash some serious Thor Ragnarok hot takes, is what I've been told. It's going to be an exciting show. Cameron, welcome to the pod, man. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me on the pod.
Of course. I'm very excited to get you on here. We had kind of struck up some DMs a couple weeks ago when I had mentioned something about Thor Ragnarok, and you came in with some hot takes, and you're like, listen, I got to talk about this. And I was like, all right, let's take it to the pod.
Giant lava monster hot.
Love it. Okay. I'm very excited. Before we dive into Ragnarok, I've got to ask, I try to ask all my guests, what is your all-time favorite Marvel character? Just so we can know.
Sure. That's a tricky question. I mean, my favorite franchise series is definitely Guardians of the Galaxy, but I don't know if any one character from that is my favorite. Maybe Rocket, but I think I have to go with the boring old answer, Tony Stark. No one else can make you laugh and break your heart the way he can.
Sure. Yeah. I had a feeling it was going that way for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm Team Tony.
Team Tony. Okay. Yeah, I can get with that. Definitely Team Stark, Team Iron Man over here.
Nice.
So we got that in common. Yeah, I will admit with the Guardians, it's tough to do the split. You kind of got to have all the Guardians or none.
Right.
So, you know, you kind of have that going for you. Let's kick off the Thor Ragnarok conversation. And sure, there are a few bullet points I want to cover. We'll hit some Twitter things that people said, and they were coming in with the hot takes too. We had people flying in, so that was exciting. I feel like this is one of the biggest points of the movie, is the tone of the film. Incredibly different from the first two Thor movies, and pretty unique to the MCU as a whole. It's very interesting. It's very humorous, very comic booky, very colorful. It's very Taika Waititi. Give me your thoughts. What are like your general thoughts on the tone of the movie?
Sure. Well, I mean, let's just address the elephant in the room. My hot take is I do not think Thor Ragnarok is deserving of all its praise.
Sure.
I'm not going to say it's a terrible movie. I'm just going to explain why it didn't work for me the way it works for everyone else. And yes, tone is part of it. All the reasons you said, I mean, that tone is half the movie, and that's the problem for me. Everything on Sakaar is amazing. It's bright, it's poppy, it's hilarious, it's full of energy. Mm-hmm. I love it. Every time we cut back to Asgard, it's so boring.
Yeah.
I mean, Hel looks good. I mean, I hate to say anything bad about Cate Blanchett. She's my girl.
Yeah.
But, and she's fine. It's just, it's so dark and dull and boring. And you can be dark and funny. I mean, the Guardians of the Galaxy mix it up great that way, but just Ragnarok never worked for me. Every time we cut to Asgard, I was like, let's get back to the junk planet.
Let's get back
to Jeff Goldblum. I don't want to be here.
Yeah, I'm done with Asgard. And you know, I watched Thor Ragnarok today in preparation for this podcast, because I wanted to come in fully fresh. I wanted to be ready to handle the lava monster here. And
convince me, Ethan. Make me love this movie the way I want to.
I don't know if I could do it. That's a lot of pressure on my end. I you know, and you're so good at your argument. I'm starting to agree with you, because the tone of the movie on Sakaar is like you said, it's wonderful. It's so perfect and humorous, and Jeff Goldblum just steals the show every scene he's in, right? And you have this very very colorful comic booky world, and then you get brought to the dark, Hela, Asgard, all of that. I would say with the tone, it's definitely a split tone, and I don't necessarily have a problem with the split tone. It was more so like the lack of commitment to the split tone. So I'm good with the humor part. Mm-hmm. I'm good with dark, but if, like you mentioned, if you're going to go dark, if Hela's going to be like really pretty like hellish and intense, make it that way.
Kill off the Warriors 3 with like nothing, like as a Coen Brothers movie.
Right.
I don't know. Is this that movie? I don't know. I don't think so.
Right. And it just doesn't, it has a hard time committing. And I can see that being part of Taika's style. Like he doesn't dabble, I don't think, in the serious dark world of things.
Well,
necessarily.
We got Jojo Rabbit. I mean, yeah, that balances. I feel like he really wanted to make the Sakaar movie. Taika was there for the Sakaar movie. And I think Marvel was like, hey, we need to get you from the Dark World, or we need you to get us from the Dark World to Infinity War. And so you have to have this Asgard story. You have to have this Hell story. We introduced it in Age of Ultron. Our hands are tied, Taika.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You kind of have to keep the story progressing in conjunction with the tone of the movie. I mentioned it, you mentioned it. Pretty funny, right? Like pretty comic, like funny centered type movie. I've got to know, because some people on Twitter came after and basically said like, and I read things online as well, like great movie, it's got too many jokes. Are you in that camp? Like, how are you feeling about the humor element?
Interesting. I do love Taika Waititi's humor. I do love the humor in this movie. I'd say one too many jokes. I think there's one joke in particular I would cut.
Okay, give it to me. What is it? You're just flashing it straight from the film or are you replacing it?
I'm going to cut it because, I mean, we'll get to more with the theme, but like at the end, you know, Thor's up there, he's watching Asgard, he's watching this home be destroyed, a choice that he made to destroy Asgard. And he's wondering, is it the right choice? And then we got Korg comes in with, it's a hilarious joke, but it's now the time. Is this the time to undercut this emotional beat with a joke? I don't know.
Sure. I think that's a tough sell, because you have a kind of a similar situation, kind of very different. But if you're talking Guardians Volume 2, when you have the send off for Yondu, right, we're seeing something eventized in front of a spaceship. That's the only similarity that I can draw. But you're seeing a very serious moment happen that's impacting a lot of people in different ways. And this is a similar situation where we have enabled Ragnarok. It has happened. We are here and we have finally just accepted the fact that Asgard is not a place, it's a people. And Korg's like, you know, like Meek's dead. Oh, but now he's alive. Like,
he's like, we'll rebuild on the foundations.
Yeah.
Oh, nope, the foundations are gone. It's like that one moment where I was like, I don't know.
The damage is not too bad. As long as the foundations are still strong, we can rebuild this place. It will become a haven for all peoples and aliens of the universe. Now those foundations are gone. Sorry.
Yeah.
But for me, if I may move into the next section now, let's just hit the themes of the movie. I mean, I guess throw the joke in there because I don't think it's working anyway. Okay. If the theme of the movie is Asgard or home as a people, not a place, should we not have spent more time with the people or the place? Mm-hmm. And again, like the time that we do spend there, we just want to go back to the other planet. Like that was one of my biggest problems with watching the movie. I remember in the theater, I just kind of slumped back in my chair. I was like, this is supposed to be the emotional moment. I don't care about Asgard right now. I'm sorry. We've never really spent much time there in any of the movies, except for the palace, except for like the royalty of Asgard. I want to know the people. I wanted to spend, the only part of the Asgard story I liked was the resistance. I wanted more of that. Let's get to know these people who Thor is now realizing is Asgard.
Right. Yeah. And we get zero connection with that. Besides the fact that like, they're running away from Hela to try to save their lives. And like,
Kandela's
helping them. We get nothing. Like we have no connection to the people. So I concur. I totally agree with that. I think that's totally legit. I think one of the main themes for me that I kind of took away is this, this struggle with self-identity that a lot of people have in the movie. So I think namely Thor struggling, right? Are you not the god of hammers? You're the god of thunder, right?
Good line.
This type of stuff, you get the same thing with Bruce Banner being Hulk for so long, seeing a video of Natasha, trying to understand some self-identity. Same thing with Valkyrie. Where does she stand? Is she going to drink her life away? Who is she really? Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I would have loved like all of that just to have been elevated like one more. I think Thor gets a good elevation on that because that's the story, is that he now is like this crazy badass with lightning and all this, but we don't really, I guess we don't really get that emotional like extra notch, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so the story does like miss that high rung of being a true emotional impact.
The theme I liked, that like the one time I thought Hela was interesting, or I guess she brings it up twice, is when she's talking about how Odin whitewashed Asgard's history and how like all she did was follow his lead and then he punished her for it. And I really thought like they were going to hit that harder, and that would have been like her and Thor really coming to terms with who his father was.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good. I wish they could have hit that more. I mean, that seems, I don't know, it seems like that was the theme they built up, and then at the end they kind of went with the people, not a place.
Sure. Yeah. And there was a lot of conversation, even outside of that specific scene of like, oh, you know, I'm sure that like the Grand Master says, like, oh, whatever your brother history is, I'm sure it's really complicated. Like, there's these little like hints and tinges of this complicated family history backstory that we just don't like dive into, even though it would have made good sense to do so. Speaking of family, moving into Loki. Obviously, Loki's got a new show coming out in a handful of weeks. We've got to talk about Loki. So his story arc in this movie, what are your thoughts? Where do you land? Are you happy with how Loki is portrayed?
I like how he's portrayed. I mean, Loki is one of the most interesting, engaging characters of the MCU. And his arc has been great. My problem is with this movie, last we see him, he's lying on the floor, electrocuted, probably in a puddle of his own urine. We don't know how those devices work, but yeah. having tried to betray his brother, who finally like caught on to it. And the next we see, he's riding heroically into Asgard to sacrifice his life for his brother and their people. And he gets an awesome slow motion fight scene to the immigrant song along with everyone else. And I just don't know how he got from point A to point B. Yep. I don't understand that. Like he had such a good development, and then like, I don't know what happened. Like on that ship with Korg, did Korg give him a big rousing speech and suddenly changed who Loki was?
Yeah. Leave it to Korg to hype him up and get him turned in the right direction. I can totally see that happening. And that's the side story that we all need, is the Korg Loki relationship. I'm curious in this instance, if we're getting a little bit of kind of director's trick, storytelling trick, in terms of maybe we don't think about how he gets there because we're so wrapped up in the moment, because we're so interested in the immigrant song and we're so interested in the colors and the scenery and what we're seeing Thor go through, finally coming to terms and like trying to defeat Hela. I'm curious if that kind of encapsulates everybody's mind, instead of saying like, wait a second, Loki actually doesn't want to help.
I mean, obviously it did for most people. Like, I understand my take is a hot take. I'm a story nerd. Like, if the character arc is missing a beat, I'm the one to like point that out, and it bothers me.
Yeah. And I, even in when right before Loki kind of gets electrocuted like that, I think it plays really well how we have this kind of come to terms moment, and then immediately we see Loki go the other way, because that's Loki. That's what he does.
And that moment's
No, go ahead. I mean, it plays really well.
It plays well, just doesn't play with well with what happens next. And like, but they had a great bonding moment up to there. So if you really wanted that heroic moment, then cut out that last betrayal and like have him stay behind for some other reason, or like he said he was. I don't know. I think they could have gotten to that moment a little smoother.
Yeah, definitely. So some storyline hiccups, some connecting elements that are missing for you, and you've kind of officially swayed me on this, even though I'm not taking out of my top fives.
Sorry. I just wanted the people to demand more from Love and Thunder. Cause I think, I mean, if you were to make a Marvel movie in a lab for me, it would probably be Ragnarok. You've got the 80s aesthetic. You've got the cast. You've got that great art direction on Sakaar. You've got like these awesome, like slow motion moving paintings that he does. Like the trailer for this movie might be the best thing Marvel's ever put out. So I really wanted to love it, and you know, it's just when something is so close to perfection and there's just some like fundamental flaws that keep it, it upsets me more than if it was had just been a mediocre movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, Cameron, I respect you for that. Like that's a big play, and I'm glad that you can recognize that, because there are so many MCU fans, Marvel fans, myself included, a lot of the time, where I'm so encapsulated and like wrapped up in what's happening that I don't step back and be like, wait, do I really consider this a top five? Do I really love it that much? Like, you know, kind of do a little more analyzing. So good on you, man. I want to take to one Twitter question real quick. we had the Good Game guys reach out, got at me on Twitter. Go check out their podcast. I was just on it last week. It's a great show. They want to know if you could change one scene in Ragnarok, only one scene. What, and it can't be the joke that you said earlier. It's got to be a scene. What would you change, and why? Why would you change it, and what would you change about it?
You take this first.
Oh gosh, you're putting me on the spot because I did not write an answer down.
Put me on the spot.
I think for me, kind of the one thing that I would change is having Hela and Thor when their reactions, and it's not, I guess technically not like one singular scene, but when they kind of interact with each other, I don't want jokes. I just want emotional depth. I want them to be cutthroat with each other, because Hela is already cutthroat. She friggin' slashes his eye out of his head. Like she's gunning for it. And Thor is still kind of like witty, cracking some jokes, having a great time. And like, I kind of get that's his personality, but it really stems back to the beginning of our conversation of this tone differential. Like, give me the tone, like set the tone to be dark. That would be my one edit, would be like, let's go full throttle with the dark.
Sure. I guess I'll say, as much as I love the opening with Thor in the cage and his kind of summary of what's been going on, like there's a lot of exposition in there. A lot has gone down before this movie. And I guess if in the movie Ragnarok, I wanted to know more about Ragnarok.
Okay.
Like it's really all the answers to Ragnarok right now are, it's a prophecy. That's all we get about it. I want to see these dreams Thor's been having. I want to see like this quest he's been on to, like, we just see him at the end of his quest, basically. Like, I mean, some sort of montage while he's telling that story, I think could have gone a long way to really just establish the stakes and Thor's headspace at the beginning of the film.
I love that, because we see inside Valkyrie's headspace as well when her and Loki are going at it. And we see kind of that traumatic history that she had fighting against Hela. And that scene in particular, gorgeous, beautiful, really sets a great tone for who Valkyrie is and what she struggles with. Give us the same thing for Thor. That's all it takes. Give me 30 seconds. And then we get a way more well-rounded of like, oh my God, Thor is actually really connected to Ragnarok and actually really cares, because he is suffering emotional trauma from it. Great call out. I love to see it. where does Thor Ragnarok rank on your power rankings? Let me know. Get at me on Twitter. Cameron, where does it fall on your power ranking?
We've got so difficult.
23 movies to choose from. Where are you putting it?
Because it might have some of the best scenes of the entire series. And I mean, almost every scene is a 10. But yet it doesn't become a sum of its parts for me. So where do I put that? I'm
going to
put it, how many movies are there? 22, you said?
Yeah, 22, 23.
Where are we at right now?
I can't remember.
let's put it at a solid 12.
Okay, right 12. Right in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, I can watch it. I mean, it's enjoyable. Yep. It's watchable for sure, but it's like a sweet piece of candy. At the end, I just don't feel satisfied. So
I think that's a great way to put it, honestly. And that, you know, a sweet piece of candy you just can't have too often. I pulled up my power rankings. I've got it in the third spot. So I'm just going to throw that down. I'm going to put it there. I'm going to walk away. That's how we're going to end the show. And listeners, let me know where it falls in your power rankings. I want to know what you think of Thor Ragnarok. Let me know at 15 Minute Marvel on Twitter and Instagram. Be sure to join me every Thursday on Twitch at twitch.tv/15minutesofmarvel for a live podcast I do every week, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. It's a great time. I talk about all the stuff that I cannot cover on this short podcast, and I drink beer, and sometimes I think I'm really funny, but maybe I'm not. I don't know. I need people to watch to let me know. Cameron, where can people find you online? Where's your podcast? Where are you at, man?
Sure. Yeah. We're a Star Trek podcast. I'm watching The Next Generation for the very first time with a couple of my more Trek savvy friends. You can find us at GreenShirt87 on Twitter, facebook.com/GreenShirtPodcast. We'll find us there, and, you know, search GreenShirt, Anubis Trek Through the Next Generation on any podcatcher. You'll find us. Hopefully you'll have a good time.
Cool. Awesome, man. Cameron, I really appreciate you coming on the show, man. I've got to have you back.
Less controversial take, please. I can hear right. The fans screaming at me right now.
Yeah, you've got to come in under better circumstances next time, man. Listen, I will see you all back here next time as I return with another movie commentary episode. The last episode of every month features me commenting on a Marvel movie of some sort. So listen, if you want to get your vote in for a particular Marvel movie that you want me to commentate for next week's or for Friday's podcast, let me know. I'm totally up for suggestions, but that's the plan. So I will see you back here next time. I'm Ethan Simi, and remember, always go higher, further, and faster.